every Monday on the Sam Cedar Show. Bill Scheer, author of Wait, Don't Move to Canada and blogger at liberaloasis.com. He thinks about politics so you don't have to. Bill Scheer.
All right, Bill Scheer is going to be on in just a second, but I promised Rich Two Bagels that Rich Two Bagels is one of our great fans from the old days. Used to come to the shows, the Morning Sedition live shows, there before anyone else. Used to sleep outside, I think, Rich.
I love you, man.
I miss you.
Oh, my God. You were classic. The live radio remote you and Mark Reilly used to do, that was the best radio air America was doing. I love Randy. I love Rachel. God help me, even love Frank and Sam, too. But you were the best. You guys did the best morning show. And now what I got to listen to in the morning, Sam Greenfield and Armstrong Williams? What's happened? We're America.
I know. I love talking to you, buddy. I'm glad you're doing well.
Listen, Mark, God bless you. I hope you'll land on your feet like a good cat.
Thanks.
Like the old cat you had. And you're going to still be a star. And screw YouTube.
Thank you very much.
Take care,
buddy. All right, Rich. That's so funny. I had to, when I was just starting in comedy, I had to drive to Vermont with Sam Greenfield. And that was a four-hour trip with just him talking. I can't imagine what the morning show is like. Look, I'm sorry. He's a good guy. Bill Scheer is a regular guest here on the Sam Cedar Show. He's obviously an information proprietor of the Liberal Oasis blog. He's with us on the phone. Bill, it's nice to meet you.
Great to meet you, too. How are the cats doing?
Ha! The cats are fine. I got four of them. Two of the original Astoria crew is with me out in L.A., and they're all doing all right. They are thriving. They've gotten to cat heaven. They're in Los Angeles, and they're outdoors now.
Fantastic.
So now, let's see. I guess one of the bigger stories of the weekend is Time Magazine naming you the person of the year. How does that make you feel?
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's got nothing to do with me personally, but it's a total cheap marketing ploy. It's an interesting development, what's going on in the blogosphere and the internet, but to say it's the most influential news thing of the year is absolutely ridiculous.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that Time has absolutely no integrity whatsoever anymore, and they're just they might as well just be garbage. They're nothing to me anymore.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, now let's talk
about waste our time.
The president obviously he's not procrastinating. This is intentional. He's putting off making a decision about Iraq till January, whenever the hell he's going to do it. The idea of putting in McCain's idea and some other policy people want to put up to 20,000 troops in there to do a surge. Now, first, there's a couple of things. The Democrats are not immediately fighting this, and I'm curious about Harry Reid's statements over the weekend. Can we hear that, Justin? Harry Reid's response to the troop surge. This
we
from face.
The president.
Go ahead. Maybe not. Let's talk. What exactly did he say, and what does it mean to you?
I think we shouldn't overblow this too much. What he basically said on ABC yesterday, he was asked about the possibility of adding 20,000 to 30,000 troops in Iraq. And what Senator Reid said was, if it was for a couple of months and tied to a plan to get out completely by early 2008, with the understanding we're not going to win this militarily, we're going to win this politically, he could quote, go along with it.
But let me ask you something, Bill, because my immediate response to that is, if Harry Reid is sitting there saying that, like, I'll go along with it, if it means we're going to get the troops out, but in the back of his head, he knows on some level that the gamble that he's making is that it's going to be more of a political suicide for them to do this. That to me, it seems like by putting more soldiers in, you're only making more targets, and the risk for American fatalities climbing to even a greater proportion with each event of violence is higher. That if he's doing that as a gamble, Harry Reid is gambling with human lives, as opposed to just saying, like he should, and I think most Democrats should, no, this isn't part of what we were elected to do here.
You're basically right, and I don't agree with what Harry Reid said, but understand that what Harry Reid talked about is a non-existent proposal. Bush is not going to propose a two-month surge. That's not what's going to happen. So when Bush comes out next month and proposes whatever he proposes, it's not going to be that constrained, and Harry Reid's going to have all sorts of room to say, this is not what I signed on for at all. and I'm back in the fold with Democrats completely. So I think it wasn't the most brilliant thing to say. It's not politically helpful as far as drawing clear lines between what Democrats support and what Republicans support, but I don't think Harry Reid has gone over the edge and is now signed on to the war, you know, whole hog.
No, I mean, I don't think so either, and I guess what you're saying is that this is just an idea among ideas that are out there, but it seems that it's picking up some momentum, and it's frightening because, I mean, Colin Powell is resisting it. He's become a critic almost immediately just by virtue of the fact that where are they going to get these guys?
Well, that's a huge point. You know, there's another guy who was on ABC yesterday, Joe Sestak, who's a newly elected congressman. He is the highest ranked military official ever elected to the House, Democrat vice admiral. And he's not only talking about how deeply stretched the military is, how just battered it's become from this idiotic foreign policy that Bush has promoted, but that the entire global security, plan is completely out of whack. You know, there are things going on in Asia, there's things going on in Afghanistan, and we can't focus on them because Iraq has become such a distraction. And that's the kind of big picture thinking I like to see Democrats do more of and not get bogged down in, you know, ticky-tack tactics in a disaster such as Iraq. So, you know, I wish Reid would think more big picture like that. I think he can. I think he should take Sestak's lead and not get hung up on a lot of these, you know, nuanced things. Whatever you say, Bush isn't going to do anyway. Bush is going to stay in Iraq forever. That's the plan. Permanent bases are the plan. That's why they're not going to cut their losses, because they're in for the long haul.
But also there's other talk coming out of perhaps the vice president's office that they were going to just get behind the Shia majority and help them almost, I guess, eliminate the Sunnis, which is ridiculous. My big fear, Bill, is that, you know, you pull 20,000 new guys into there. I don't know what the hell they're walking into. I know it's chaos, but it almost seems to me that with the threat of the Saudis, you know, backing the Sunnis, who the hell's to say that they're not doing that already and that we're really not, you know, we're not really being set up here?
I mean, the underlying goal of Cheney and the neocons is to stay permanently, to be a permanent presence in Iraq and the region, to control the government, to push off in other countries in the region. And they're just, and they tried to first under a cloak of democracy. Now they're doing this so-called Shiite tilt where they pick a side in the civil war and try to, you know, and try to eliminate the other side. So it's all part of the same game. How do we stay in control? And it is chaos. It is going to mean more lives lost. It is going to mean a destabilized country in a region. It's going to hurt our military. It's going to hurt our security. And we should be looking at it in that context. So I totally agree with you that what they're talking about with this Shiite tilt is completely ridiculous and should be called out for what it is.
Yeah, and also they're surrounded by Sunni countries. Al-Qaeda is Sunni, and half the countries that surround Iraq are primarily Sunni. Saudi Arabia, Jordan.
Well, the one logic of the quote-unquote Shiite tilt is if you could have some moderate Shiite leaders, then you would isolate the more radical Shiite factions in Iran, for example.
But that's the Rice plan, and that's assuming that tribes are going to act like democratic people, which I think is a long shot.
Well, there's that too. I mean, everything is a long shot, but you still have to try to keep your eye on the ball and try to make any kind of positive movement you can. What's interesting, this what just happened this weekend, though, which the administration will surely botch, is that they had midterm elections in Iran.
Right, for the assembly of experts.
The experts is actually the body that picks the supreme leader.
So let me just explain that to me real quick, because the assembly of experts is a legislative. It's a governing body that picks the not the Ahmadinejad position, but the higher position.
Exactly. Ahmadinejad, who we hear about all the time, he's the president, but he's not the leader. He's not the top guy. All of his rantings and ravings are generally meaningless as far as what actual Iranian policy is.
I always felt that because, you know, I've talked to Iranian people, artists, that there is a tremendous, secular, thriving sort of subculture in Iran. There's artists in Iran. There's progressive people in Iran that a lot of them look at this governing power is just an annoyance.
And, you know, he just last week had this very hyped up, you know, Holocaust denial conference, which allegedly would be to try to goose his political numbers for this election, to show he's standing up to the West, he's standing up to Israel, and it didn't work. You know, his guy for the Assembly of Experts apparently is getting trounced by a more